MacCast, Monday, January 30th, 2012, Macworld Expo 2012, Part 1. Hey, Mac Geeks, it's time for your MacCast, the show for Mac Geeks by Mac Geeks. I'm Adam, and this is the show where we discuss all things Macintosh. How you doing? Welcome back to the MacCast. Glad to be back here with you. I got back from San Francisco over the weekend, took a little time to rest, and now I have a bunch of really great content to get out to you. Did a bunch of interviews while I was there. I had to have a short trip, was only able to be there for 2 days of the expo, so I missed the last day, but still had a great time. I met many of you out there on the show floor. I thank all of you who came up and said hi to me as I was running around trying to get these interviews for you. Macworld's always a lot of fun. It was a whole different expo this year. They've kind of reinvented it. They're calling it Macworld iWorld, the ultimate iFan event. I'm not so sure how I feel about the whole iFan name, but overall, the expo, just give you my general impression, it was a lot of fun. It was a very different format. I think it was a lot more consumer-oriented. I think they'd brought the pricing down on some of the tickets, and that definitely reflected in the attendance. It seemed like there were a lot more people there than there were just last year. It always kind of ebbs and flows, I think, in terms of attendance. But this time around, it seemed much more consumer-focused. The show floor, there was a lot broader range of products, Mac products, a lot of iOS products, cases and things like that. I know a lot of people complain that there's too many cases, but you know, I think there was a lot more just in the accessories department, a lot more iOS accessories, and I'm not so sad about seeing that. I think iOS devices are a big part of Apple's business, and it's good to see all the different products and services that are cropping up to support that. That's everything from software to hardware, accessories, and things like that. And there was still a good mix of Mac stuff. I bet about the only thing I was really disappointed about was the fact that we didn't see too many things related to Thunderbolt. Just a couple hard drives. I think a lot of that stuff was announced and shown at CES, and that's always been kind of the bigger show for that type of product, but it still would have been nice to see some of those companies come out to Macworld and show some of their products. But there were a few things, and I got interviews with both Western Digital and Seagate, so you'll hear about their new Thunderbolt products. And I think it's hard to remind yourself too that not every product is something that requires Thunderbolt. I mean, it makes no sense to make Thunderbolt peripherals like mice and keyboards and things like that. Just be silly. You know, you need high-performance products. But we could have seen more stuff in the audio area, in the digital video area, and I really didn't see a lot of those products. But I would imagine that they're coming, and I, of course, didn't get around the whole show floor. I was hoping to get to every booth, but it's a big show floor, and to try and cover it in 2 days is a little bit tricky. I really was hoping to see some of the Thunderbolt expansion boxes that we'd been hearing about, but OWC, I don't think had any of those, and a couple of the other vendors I would have expected to see that type of product at, I didn't run across. So if it was there, I did miss it, and I apologize for that. But I still got a lot of great stuff to show you. We're going to get into that in a moment. But before we get to that, I do want to take a quick moment, thank one of my show sponsors, Circus Ponies, makers of Notebook. Look, if you haven't tried out Notebook, do yourself a favor, head over to their website, download the trial, and check it out, because I'm really convinced it's one of those applications that I picked up originally for just taking notes, thinking I would use it as a notebook, and I find myself using it over and over again, kind of coming back to it as this universal application that I can just throw stuff into and get documents and files and things organized if I want to do little annotations. It just keeps everything in one place, and I just really like the metaphor, the ability to pick different papers, pick different styles of notebooks, the ability to mix and match different types of media so I can drop in images, I can record audio annotations, I can throw in PDF files if I want to do that, and then have tabs and the ability to organize and then also search the multi-decks. It automatically goes through and indexes things like all the URLs. I can pull out and go to one page and see every URL that I have within my notebook and which page that's on and where it's referenced from and stuff like that. So the ability to jump back and forth and easily move through things. To-do lists, checkoff lists. So if you're getting ready for a trip, it's great. You can make a list of all the items that you want to take. Keep track of that. You can have your hotel information in there. You can have your travel plans, all of that stuff in one spot. And it just is a really versatile application, and I think you're really going to like it. So head over to circusponies.com, check it out, and a big thank you to them for their support of the MacCast. So without further ado, I think we should just jump right into the interviews. This was the first day I was out on the show floor at Macworld, and I talked to all of these folks, so enjoy.
All right, I just hit the show floor here at Macworld, and I came into the Nivio booth, which is right here at the front, and I ran into Paul, and he was showing me some really cool technology for those of us who need to have those times when we probably need to run Windows on our Mac. And it comes up, you know, we're Mac fans, we love our Macs, but every once in a while you're going to run into that project. And maybe you don't want to set up a whole Windows box, you don't want to deal with all the licensing, maybe you only need it for a month, something like that. And you guys have a pretty unique solution for that. So can you tell a little bit, everybody a little bit about the product?
Sure. So we can deliver a Windows desktop experience over any device, also clientless access using HTML5 browser access. So we support Macs, Windows-based PCs, Android devices, iOS devices, Chromebooks, any device that supports HTML5. We also have rich clients, which can provide enhanced features such as enhanced browsing experience, multimedia redirection, two-way audio, and printing services. So there's three components to our solution: online storage, synchronized online storage, the desktop experience, and an application store that we call NApps.
Right. So what this allows me to do is kind of rent a Windows box in a way, but you guys do it virtualized. But I was asking you, and is that like virtual desktops that we're kind of all used to? And you said it's a little bit different than that, right?
Sure. So it's not really delivering you a virtual machine that you can do what you want with. So we don't provide admin access. We actually manage the solution end to end. So we'll take care of the antivirus. We'll make sure the applications run without any conflict. So basically all your session profile is maintained no matter when you log in and which server you hit. So it's a persistent profile, but it could be a session on any one of our servers.
Right. So I subscribe to the service. I get a Windows session that I can log into, but then it's really a full-blown Windows. I can do whatever I want with it. I can save documents to the cloud storage that you provide, and that cloud storage syncs. So can you talk a little bit about how I put applications on my Windows instance, how I access it, and maybe a little bit about how the documents sync? Because I think that's pretty unique in your solution.
So using the NApps store, you can instantly, on demand, add an application. Examples might be Microsoft Office Suite, Microsoft Project, Visio. We're working with Adobe and Corel to get their creative suites in there. We have a plan to have 5,000 applications within the next 18 months. And they're actual, real productivity applications, not really games and entertainment-based. We will have entertainment, but our focus is productivity. The synchronized storage, if you create an application on your virtual desktop, the Nivio desktop, you'll have access to that on any device that's got the NDrive synchronized storage client installed on. So whether that's your iPad, whether that's your Mac, whether that's your Windows device, your files will always be synchronized. So you'll be able to work offline, then jump back into your Nivio desktop and have access instantly, and vice versa.
Yeah, so what's amazing about that, there's a couple things there that I want people to be really clear about. You are syncing my documents. So I've seen some other solutions where I have to go to a web interface, I have to download the document, it's really kind of clunky. Here we were talking about I could be working in my browser remotely, working on a Word document within the software, save that to my NDrive, and now I come back to my Mac, it's already there, it's already synced up, and I can continue to work with it locally, and then come back to my Windows instance and really move seamlessly back and forth. The other thing is the applications. You know, a lot of people might be thinking, well, I have to buy the applications and install them, but I was unaware that you kind of have a way to rent applications, which I thought was unique. Occasionally we have instances where, you know, I'm a web developer and I might have a client that has a project and they want me to work in Visio or Microsoft Project. Well, I don't have that software. Your solution kind of handles that, right?
Absolutely. So it's a rental model. So we provide 30 days free access as a trial, and then you decide if you need that application after that trial. You can rent it on a monthly basis, and it's turn on, turn off. So there's no contracts or commitments or long-term plans.
Yeah, so I don't have to plunk down hundreds of dollars. And I think we even pulled up Vizio, and it was like $10.95 for 1 month. So if I only need it for that one project, I'm not investing a huge amount in setting up a Windows box, getting the software just for one project. So this is a really great solution. And like you said, it's browser-based. You have clients for Mac desktop and Android and iOS. And you guys are just launching right now, or announcing here at Macworld. What's the timeline for when the product's going to be available? And can you talk a little bit about the pricing?
So we make the announcement today, so people can pre-register for the beta. From the 1st of February, we will start activating a handful of people. And we're tracking it on the basis of who they recommend as their friends. So if you push it to Twitter and you push it to Facebook, we're tracking it, so you go higher up the list. From February 14th, we will start activating more users that are in the list of people that are waiting. The pricing is that the first 30 days is free. Storage is free for life, the 10 gigs. And if you're a student, it's $2 a month for up to 10 hours. If you're a consumer, it's $5 a month for up to 10 hours. And then we have unlimited packs, which is $5 for the student and $15 for the consumer.
Well, cool. Very, very exciting product. And it really solves a need, I think, for a lot of Mac users who have those instances. We all have those times where we need to work in a Windows environment. And this is a nice solution.
And there's one last piece, which is if you think about, we've gone from a world of many devices. And today, the only device you need is your phone. Because the example that we use is you could walk into your office with an iPhone, plug it into a 20-inch screen, use a Bluetooth keyboard, use the iPhone as a touch interface, and your desktop will beam up on your screen. And you actually don't need a laptop or anything else. Your desktop, your laptop, your PC is your phone.
Yeah, suddenly your phone is your desktop. So that's really, really cool. Well, thanks, guys, for talking to us. And if people want to check out more and sign up for the trial, where should they go?
Yes, they should go to us.nivea.com or www.nivea.com and register for the trial.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, so I've moved over to the Seagate booth, and you all told me that one of the things you really wanted to know about this year was the Thunderbolt products here at Macworld. And we ran into Leo, who we talked to last year about the GoFlex hard drives from Seagate, and you guys now have some Thunderbolt solutions that are kind of taking advantage of some of the GoFlex stuff. So why don't we just give everybody a brief reminder of what GoFlex technology is and how that works, and then if you could tell us how that fits into your Thunderbolt solutions.
Perfect. So basically the idea behind GoFlex is flexibility. There's two things that we call that. It was the ability to remove the interface entirely and the cross-platform compatibility. So we include drivers to allow you to use it on a PC or a Mac depending on which platform you're using. But the beauty of it was the architecture to remove the interface. And what we're going to show here in just a second is actually the ability to go from what you currently already have, which is FireWire and USB 2, to our beloved Thunderbolt.
Right, and so can you explain a little bit about the GoFlex connector? So your GoFlex line of drives that you've been selling for, how long have those been on the market?
It's about 2 years now.
For about 2 years now, have a connector that you guys developed, and it uses what kind of technology?
So it's SATA. It's a SATA connector, and some of them, depending on the form factor, actually is a standard called USM, and it's a certain form factor, and it's just basically a SATA connector that you can actually connect to a bunch of different devices.
Right, but the brilliant part about that is that allows you guys to be flexible with in terms of the interface. So I think we talked about last year, USB 3, USB 2, FireWire, what have you, and now Apple's thrown out Thunderbolt, and obviously you have a solution. So talk a little bit about how that fits into the solution now.
Perfect. So what we have in a demo here is basically we're connecting our current solution, which is FireWire, in that same base that you can actually remove, which gives us the ability to now adapt it to Thunderbolt, right? So what we're going to do is we're going to run a speed test here, and what we're seeing with that FireWire interface is about 65 to 85 megabytes per second on read and write. So the capability of that is actually, the limitation of that is the interface. FireWire is actually slower than what the 7200 RPM drive can do inside. And if we were to remove that base and plug it into our new Thunderbolt adapter, basically we're going to see speeds between 165 to about 205 megabytes per second on the same drive. So about 3 to 4 times faster on that same hardware that you potentially already own and previously bought in the past.
Right, and so that's the great thing about this solution is if you already own one of your GoFlex drives, You're just literally removing the old interface, buying these new adapters that you're going to come out with, and now I've got Thunderbolt on the same drive I already own. My data is over, and it's now just faster.
Exactly, and that's what we thought. So it's a single drive enclosure, both for our portable as well as our desktop version, and it's a little bit different than we're seeing for some of the other solutions out there, right? Multi-drive, pretty expensive. Our current solutions for 3.5-inch has two ports, daisy chainable. It's going to be $189, and it's going to be available late February, early March. The portable version is single port, can't daisy chain, but you can plug it into the end of the daisy chain or directly to your system, but it's bus powered. So you can actually take that one with you on the go. Like, say if you have a MacBook Air, you're currently stuck with USB 2, so now you have significantly faster speeds. That one's actually going to be available later this month, early February.
Awesome, awesome. And I love the fact that you can take your old drive. We probably should mention, too, you guys did redesign the drives a little bit, but your old drives are still compatible with these new docks, right?
Exactly. So on the desk version, we actually did a little bit of a new design. So the looks are newer, but the functionality is exactly the same. So both portable as well as the desktop adapters are all compatible with previous generations of any drive we've had in the GoFlex line.
All right, very cool. Well, I know everybody in my audience is very excited about Thunderbolt. Sounds like Seagate is, too, and you've got some great solutions here. We're going to go over and talk to them a little bit about some of your iOS solutions, too. Thanks, Leo.
Thank you.
All right, I've moved over in the Seagate booth, and I'm talking with Greg. And we had not covered last year. The satellite line, I think, was just kind of announced or just about coming out the time we were over here. And I was very excited to get a look at this because I haven't seen it yet. And so this is a solution for iOS devices. So can you tell everybody a little bit about this product?
Yeah, so this product just came out in May, and it's called GoFlex Satellite. And think of it as a portable drive for your tablets and smartphones. So the idea is what you'll do is you'll go to your PC or Mac, you'll drag and drop your content onto this drive, and then you take this drive with you when you want to access your media on your iPad. So when you're on the go, this product is completely wireless, it's battery-powered, and it creates its own Wi-Fi network. So your iPad or iPhone can connect directly to this device and play movies, look at photos, listen to music, even open up documents.
Right, so you're connecting it rather than, say, traditionally people are used to connecting devices with a USB cable, not possible on an iPad or an iOS device. With this solution, you're doing it straight over Wi-Fi, and so then I can browse that content once I've loaded it onto the device. Well, I guess the first thing we should say is much more storage, right? You get 500 gigs?
Yeah, 500 gigs, or in other words, enough room for over 300 HD movies.
Right, so you can really load up everything, take it with you, and then when you want to access it on your mobile device, you can do it through browser, or you guys also have an application that you can download, right?
Correct. So we do have a free app available for iOS and also for the Android platform as well. And the idea is that it's great to enjoy things like movies on your iPad, but they consume so much space. You really want to save that space for things like your apps and things you really need with you all the time. But when you're traveling and you want access to your entire movie library, just bring GoFlex Satellite with you, turn it on, easily stream movies.
Right. And right now, we should probably point out that this is for consuming content. So we were talking about the contents on the drive. You can pull it up in the player. You can play it. You can open it up in other applications. But right now, you don't have the ability to save back to the device.
Correct. That is something we're looking into that could be a future update. And all of our updates are free, by the way. They're a simple download from our website. We're even going to have one that comes out in March that gives you some other cool options about allowing more users to access the product simultaneously. We're looking at doing some optimizations around battery life as well. So look for cool stuff for free from us.
Yeah, and I don't know if we mentioned right now, it supports three users. The other thing that I wanted to point out was that you have the player here. You can play inside the app too, so you can pull up your video and what have you.
Yeah, so actually when you play any of your videos, it opens up in the default player of your iPad, so you already know how to use it out of the box. For music, we actually have a small player that pops up right above. So you can leave that music running in the background and do something like look at a slideshow, even minimize the app and do other things with your iPad.
Right. And then the other, there was one other limitation, but you did say you were going to come out with a software update for this. Because it's Wi-Fi to the iPad can only connect to one Wi-Fi network at a time. So you were saying, use case situation, you're working remotely, say in a Starbucks or something like that, you've connected to the drive, you're now disconnected from the Wi-Fi, so you can't go out and browse the internet. But you guys are going to have a solution for that, right?
Yeah, so first week of March, we're going to have a free firmware update. And what that's going to allow us to do is your iPad's going to talk to our product over Wi-Fi. Then our product will give you the option to connect to another Wi-Fi network, such as one in Starbucks. And then you can do something like listen to the music stored on GoFlex Satellite, but then still have internet access as well because we're passing through the Wi-Fi connection for you.
Right, so almost if anybody's, I think you can do a similar thing with ad hoc networks on your Mac, so it sounds very similar to that kind of kind of solution.
Yeah, it's a real great solution. So you can stay connected to your media, but then do other things like check email and surf the net.
Oh, very, very cool. Well, thanks for showing this to us. And, you know, Seagate makes some great products. If people want to get more information on your other products, we had talked, you know, with Leo about the Thunderbolt products. Where should they go? What should they do?
Check out Seagate.com. All of our products are up on there. And then for the satellite product in particular, in the U.S., Best Buy and Amazon are our main resellers.
All right, great. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
All right, I just was walking by the Oloclip booth, and they caught my eye because I've heard about this product before. I have several people who are photographers. They're in the photography community, and they like using their iPhones now to take pictures because it takes such great pictures. And I'm here with Patrick. First, Patrick, why don't you tell everybody just what the Oloclip is?
The Oloclip's a 3-in-1 lens solution for the iPhone 4 and 4S. It's fisheye, wide-angle, and macro lenses all in one small package, fits in your pocket. And you just slide it onto the corner of the phone and flip it over to get the different views.
Yeah. And I think the reason I've heard so much about this, some of you maybe even seen it online already, but what's amazing about it is just the size, you know, and the simplicity. I think there's a lot of accessories that are kind of bulky and big. This would fit very easily in a bag, in a pocket, like you said, and you've got all the different options. So it really can extend the functionality of the built-in camera, right?
Absolutely. Now, the built-in camera is amazing. Fantastic camera in the iPhone 4 and 4S. All we do is give it a little more creative options. So we just expand the field of view, and also in macro, just give you that 10 times macro so that you can just really get in and see a world that you've never been able to see. And the photographs that people are taking and posting are just amazing. It blows us away.
Right. It allows you to do a lot more in a very easy package. I was kind of curious to get a little bit of the backstory. How did you get into this? Were you in photography beforehand? How did this product come about?
Well, I've been a huge photography nut my whole life. My family are into photography. It's not professionally, though, but just real crazy about it. And then I've been in the product design my whole career, designing computer accessories, then PDA accessories when those came out, then smartphones when they transitioned. And I've been doing that for other companies. But then about a year and a half ago, I needed something new to do. And I'd always wanted to put lenses on my iPhone. And I finally figured out, once the iPhone 4 came out and they had that great camera, and I figured out a way that we could mount them, which was the real challenge, is how do you mount the lens without compromising the device and do it quickly and simply and elegantly. And I'm really happy with the solution we came up with.
Yeah, oftentimes, you know, the simple solution slides over the corner, fits over the lens, there it is, just pull it out, use it, take it off. I absolutely love this. Another thing was just how you got the product to market. A lot of people using Kickstarter, so this was a Kickstarter project. What went into that decision, or was that just a no-brainer?
Yeah, I found out about Kickstarter around the time that I had this idea for this product, and I thought, that's an excellent place to launch this. It will just get us propelled and get us a bunch of enthusiastic customers right away, which is what we really needed. And so we launched on Kickstarter in May. We funded in June at over 5 times what we asked for. We had customers from over 50 countries place orders, and we shipped them out in July. And then in October, we got into the Apple Store, and in November, into Best Buy. And it's just been incredible. And I think Kickstarter really enabled us to do that on a shoestring budget, which we otherwise wouldn't have been able to do.
Right. And one thing that I think is kind of amazing about Kickstarter and these projects is there really starts to be this community around a product, too. Did you experience some of that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the Kickstarter community is amazing. I mean, just that's one thing that I really wanted to see was what kind of artistic, creative photographs and videos that the Kickstarter community would create with the Oloclip. And it's just, I've been amazed and just blown away with the work that people are creating.
It's created a real incredible buzz. So let's talk a little bit about price, where people can get it, and maybe where people can see some of the images and get more information on it.
Well, the Oloclip's $70 for the three. It's a 3-in-1 solution. It's all three lenses, the fisheye, the wide angle, and the macro. Comes with the little bag to keep it in. I keep it in my pocket. It's a third the size of my car keys. And you can buy it at Best Buy and Apple and also online. As far as images, you can follow us on Instagram, on our Oloclip feed on Instagram, also on Flickr, on Facebook. And if you just do searches for Oloclip on any of these places, you'll find thousands of images that people are posting. They're just amazing.
And you have a website?
We do. It's oloclip.com, OlloClip.
Great. Thank you so much. Awesome product. I think I'm going to have to walk over and get one.
Well, I think we can help you out with that.
So I'm over here at the HyperDrive booth with Jennifer, and I always love coming by here. You guys are always at the front of the Mac world, too. It's really great, your location.
Yeah, we're like the Apple of Macworld, because Apple's not here.
You walk in and you got that primo spot. Well, you guys got great products, and a lot of people might know you from your battery products and things like that. But I wanted to talk to you a little bit about something called Cloud FTP, and it's by HyperDrive. And can you just give us a rundown of exactly what this little device is?
Yeah, so it was a Kickstarter-funded project, third highest funded project on Kickstarter in the technology sector. Cloud FTP allows you to plug in a USB device, and it makes the USB device wireless. So through an ad hoc peer-to-peer network, you can share that information with up to three people if you're looking at movies and if you want to stream them instantaneously at the same time, or you can download about five documents at any given time. You can also connect this to your infrastructure and have all that data be available to you on the web if you use clients like Boxdrop or iCloud and things like that. And if you have your own server, you can point this to your own server and then have access to it on the World Wide Web. Some of the great aspects of this particular product is the fact that we have something called a software development kit known as SDK, and it's going to have open source system, so you can update and add information to it. And we're hoping to get some of our first firmware updates out probably within 2 weeks, which will be a printer update. So you can turn any printer into a wireless printer, essentially, just with the addition of this little device here.
Right, and it's I'm going to have to describe it since we're on audio, but it's an incredibly small little black box. Look, does it come in multiple colors? Because I see a picture of a white one, too.
Yeah, it comes in black and white. It's about 3 inches by 2 inches by about an inch wide. It does have its own battery. It will last 6 to 8 hours, and it essentially has its own router, which gives off a Wi-Fi signal, so that's how you're going to be connecting devices to it.
Right, and it goes over FTP. So there's some other solutions out there that do WebDAV or some other things, but what's great about this is out of the box, we were talking, I have a bunch of applications that can connect to an FTP server. So it has a USB port on the back. I plug in my USB device, be it a camera, a flash drive, an external drive, and now I have an IP. I can connect to it with my application via FTP and then access those files, not only reading them but also writing them. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yep.
So incredibly, incredibly small product. And the other thing about the size is he said there was a what's the size of the battery in here? Because he said you can actually power 5-volt USB devices. So if I have a USB-powered hard drive, it's going to be able to draw power actually from this for a good amount of time, right?
Yeah, I believe it's a 2,700 milliamp unit. It is a 1.0 port, so you're not looking at your iPads per se, but most of your cell phones can be powered off of it. The battery internally can last 6 to 8 hours on this particular device, but depending on what kind of cell phone you have will determine how long it'll go for.
Really, really cool. What I love about it is I'm able to use the devices that I currently have with this little box, and I can throw it in a bag very easily and take it with me. What's the price point on it? When's it going to be available, and where can people go get more information about it?
Well, you can go to www.hypershop.com. It's going to retail for $99.95, and we're going to be shipping retail probably by the end of February. So come and get your pre-orders now.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jennifer. And just so we get it all right, it is the...
It's the HyperShop booth. This device is one of our HyperDrive brands.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, I am at one of my favorite places at Macworld, and that's the Smile booth. You all know Smile is a sponsor of the MacCast, and I'm very happy to be able to come over and talk to them about their latest offering. They just announced something very exciting, something I'm very excited about, and that's PDF Pen for the iPad. And so I have Philip here. Philip, why don't you just tell us about PDF Pen for the iPad?
Well, we made PDF Pen for the iPad because we really wanted to take our PDFs on the go and be able to have full features of being able to edit them, fill forms, sign the stuff when it comes by PDF, and be able to turn it around and email it back, and be able to do work while you're away from the office, which involves PDFs.
So Philip was running me through the demo because I hadn't even seen this yet, and it is amazing. And I commented that for me, it's almost like, oh, I've seen this before, because it's PDF Pen pretty much. Most of the features that you have on the desktop now optimized for the iPad. And so can you talk a little bit about the feature set, what's in there, what maybe isn't in there, some of the differences between the two?
Sure, yeah. On the iPad, we've really focused on features that work well with touch. So that means markup, drawing on a PDF, annotating. being able to add text to a PDF. The kind of features that we haven't included in it are stuff like OCR, which require a large memory computer and scanners and stuff you generally don't connect to an iPad.
Right. But, I mean, for those sorts of things, it does work real seamlessly with PDF Pen on your Mac and moving stuff back and forth. Maybe talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, it works completely seamlessly with the Mac product. You can use the same files and you can copy them back and forth. And to that extent, we've also added iCloud to this product for on the iPad. So you can store your files in iCloud. And also on the Mac products, we've introduced iCloud support so that you can use PDF Pen direct with your files from the iPad and have them automatically sync on both platforms. And it's very beneficial because you don't have to think about copying your stuff back and forth. You're always editing the same thing, whatever platform you're on.
Right, and it's not just iCloud. You popped down sort of the menu for all the places I can get stuff in and out of, and you've got FTP in there and Dropbox and Evernote, I think, and Google Docs. I mean, you name it, you guys can get it in and out of there. And it has a really nice management interface. When you open it up, you get all your documents there, and I can delete them, organize them, right?
Yeah, you can delete, organize. You can also merge documents if you want to join stuff, like adding a cover letter to a filled fax form or something like that.
Yeah, and then when it comes to all your tools, when you're working with your PDFs, you've got your drawing tools. And one thing I noticed immediately is that you're drawing vectors, so they look really nice. They're scaling up very nicely. And you have those great features like you can build document libraries of signatures and objects and stuff you created.
Yeah, anything you draw on the iPad directly, you can add to your own library and reuse in other documents. So if you have like your own set of markup symbols or certain shapes you like to add to documents, it makes it super easy to just use them again and again and again.
Right. And then, of course, for me, you know, a really big one is being able to fill out online forms, or I think you call them, did you call them like pseudo forms or fake forms?
Almost like fake forms. There's a lot of PDF files that are really just like flat printed web processor documents. They have little areas which look like they can be filled in, but you tap on them and no box appears. So with PDF Pen for iPad, you can just add text objects on top of that in which you can write the text, even though the form wasn't specifically an interactive one to begin with.
Right, and then I can add my signature and I can email it right from PDF Pen for the iPad.
That's true. You sign it and email it directly, and the job is done without a printer, without a Mac, and probably somewhere very far away from your desk.
And you can, do it all remotely. It's really amazing. And even more amazing is it's available now, and it's incredibly priced.
Yeah, we have an introductory price on the product, and it's only $10 from the App Store, the iTunes App Store.
Well, awesome. Really, really nice work. I'm sure this was a big project for you, and it's nice to see it realized.
Yeah, it's great to get the product released and getting good customer feedback.
All right, so go download it. I'll give you the information again. It's smilesoftware.com. You can go check it out, get more information, but find it on the App Store. And Philip, thanks for walking us through it.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
All right, believe it or not, right next to the Smile booth is the Boinks booth, another one of my favorite companies to come talk to at Macworld because they always are releasing cool new stuff. And I'm particularly excited this year because they've had a product on the desktop, on my Mac. I've owned it for years, iStop Motion. And it's a great app on the Mac, and they've now brought it to the iPad, so I have Oliver here. So, Oliver, maybe a good place to start out is maybe just talk about the approach, because, I mean, iStop Motion has a lot of features. It does a lot of stuff on the desktop. Obviously, the iPad's a little bit different. So can you talk about, you know, what's in the iPad and how it might be different than the desktop product?
So for the iPad, we really had to rethink the product, because using the touch interface makes it's much, much different from the traditional mouse and keyboard approach. And so we really redesigned it from the ground up. We also rethought a little bit about who is going to use it. So right now, I think our main target is education for this product. So we looked at what was important for education and what was important for like the parent that wants to, you know, do something useful with their kids together. And what would be, you know, it needed to be that simple so that you don't have to be afraid of, you know, do I need to learn this? Do I have to read a manual or something like that? So we really stripped it down very, very much and basically started from scratch and just put in the very basic stuff right now.
Right, but the thing about it is all the key features that you need to get started in this kind of animation are there. So, and you've done some really creative things around that. I noticed immediately the onion skinnings in there, you know, the ability to see the shot that you just took and then set up your next shot. So I think that's a logical one. But you were mentioning some stuff about you had to add in management tools and the timeline is a little bit different. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so as you said, the really basics, I don't mean they are basic. You know, we looked at what were really the valuable things, and of course the onion skinning is, you know, the whole reason for the product to be there. Also, what's really critical is that you get immediate playback. We actually had to do a lot of engineering to get that really working, and it's tough on the engine. You know, the iPad has to do a lot of calculation to do that. So when you do animation, you want to be able to look at your result immediately, and that's what we've achieved. The iPad, the application model on the iPad is more, you own your data in the app, and it stays in the app. So we had to think about things like, we had to come up with a way to present the user with a collection of their their animations, because there's no file system where you can store them away. So we have this gallery that's sort of the central point where you see all your animations that you've created and that you use to export them to YouTube or to the camera roll. And that's the second thing, is we had to look at the workflow, and on the Mac, when you buy a Mac, you get iLife with it, and there's iMovie in it. So we can assume that everyone on the Mac has a basic video editing app. So it doesn't make sense to go and recreate that. You know, you just take the video that you created on the iStop Motion for iPad product, for the iMac product, for the Mac product, and take it to iMovie for final editing. But on the iPad, there's no video app that comes standard with the iPad. So we had to assume that we need at least some basic functionality for people to get the final product out into the world. So that is a total new kind of functionality we add to the iStop Motion for iPad compared to the Mac product, where we, on the Mac, we focus on creating clips. On the iPad, we had to really make sure that people could do something with the result. So we added in, you know, basic export to YouTube, and we'll, As the product moves on, now we are at version 1, basically. As we move on, we will certainly add more capabilities in that regard. So you can add music to your clip and export it to YouTube, but we might be able to, in the future, to have a sort of a basic editor that allows you to combine multiple clips, you know, do some basic, you know, audio editing, and maybe throw in a title or credits or whatever, and then publish it to YouTube.
Yeah, but I love that you focused on that core functionality of creating the clips, added some features to be able to export to places like YouTube and stuff like that. And you talked a little bit about how it really become an educating product for young students or people trying to get into this kind of animation. You showed me, you know, how the timeline scrolls, which is really nice. It's really built for the touch interface. And I was saying, I'm really appreciating these developers who are really rethinking their products for touch and adding the features and functionalities that make sense. So, like, you showed me scrubbing through the timeline, and if I've set my project to 12 frames per second, I can see the 12 frames going by, and then I can see the second marker. So it becomes really obvious that that's what's happening. Another great thing about this product that I think you addressed is the camera on the iPad. Obviously, iPad's a great way to kind of set up your shots and edit them, but maybe not the best camera in the world. So talk a little bit about the solution for that.
Yeah, the solution for that is that we've created a companion app called iStop Motion Remote Camera that you can install on an iPhone 4S, for example, and then you can use that iPhone 4S as a remote camera for the iStop Motion on the iPad. So it connects to the iPhone through the wireless, and you see the video from the iPhone in real time on your screen. And when you do a capture, the iPhone will actually capture a high-res image and transfer that high-res image over the Wi-Fi, so you get much better image quality. And also the optics in the iPhone 4S are much better than the ones that are currently in the iPad 2. And Also, the iPhone is smaller, and as such, you can position it much more easily in your scene, and you know, move closer up to image, to objects, or you know, move it around to create some, you know, camera movement illusion things. You know, so it's a very cool setup this way.
Yeah, it is. It's just, it's a fun product. If you've ever wanted to play around with this, you know, I see movies like the Tim Burton stuff, and you go, oh, I want to try that. And this is a really good way, I think, to get into it. And having that camera and being able to do all kinds of angles, it has, you know, good macro. And it's something like the iPhone 4S, as you pointed out, can do autofocus and exposure. And that's controllable from the app, too, which I just thought was amazing.
Yeah, you can basically control those things on the iPhone in the remote camera app or on the iPad, and we'll just sync up. So,
well, really, really great. And then the other thing that just blew me away when I saw it hit my news feed was the price point. So tell everybody how much it is, where they can find out more. And I'm assuming we're going to be seeing some great YouTube videos showing up online, too. Are you guys aggregating that stuff, I guess, is another question.
Yeah, we have a gallery on our website of really cool videos that when we were beta testing, we actually were actively looking for some young people, so we found two teenagers who really made really amazing movies that are on our gallery. Yeah, you go to our website, boings.com/istopmotion/iPad, where you find more information on the product. Pricing is currently $4.99 introductory price on the App Store. Go download it, have fun, and send us the movies you make for our gallery. We really enjoy seeing what our customers create with our apps.
Yeah, it's really cool stuff. I look forward to seeing that too, and it's going to be really neat to see what people do with it. As part of that, I think we talked a little bit. I'm going to precursor this. You have some cool swag here, and I know the people listening, not everybody could come. I think you're going to let me have some, and maybe if people make some cool movies, we'll find a way to give away some Boinks swag.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. We can do that. Do you want to reveal what it is?
Yeah, I think what we're going to do is we're going to have you make a movie and post it to YouTube, tag it with Boinks and MacCast, and then we'll find them, and we'll probably do a drawing. I don't know how many I'll give away, but we'll give you details later when I figure it all out. But yeah, get ready to make some cool stop-motion animation movies with the Boinks, new Boinks software.
Yeah, that's what we are all hoping for.
Right. Cool. Well, thank you so much, Oliver. Another just great product from Boinks. And I haven't even had a chance to play with it yet. It's so new. So I'm looking forward to getting home and getting my iPhone 4S out and really messing around with this.
Oh, yeah. Enjoy it.
All right, I was walking down the show floor here, and I came by this booth, and there was flashing lights and this really cool-looking table. But on top of the table, there was this really interesting iPad stand, and the name of the company is Okta, and I'm with Promethea, so I'll let him tell you a little bit about what is Okta.
Well, I am an avid Mac lover. When the iPad came out 2 years ago, I realized how hard it was to hold. So my girlfriend and I started a company to create inventive ways to hold and position your iPad where you want it to be. The intention started out to levitate your iPad. So right now we have these really advanced vacuum suction devices that lock onto your iPad with just a few pumps. And you don't have to worry about it leaving any marks or residue or glue or anything like that. You put it on, pump it up a few times, and it's good to go. And we've created this interchangeable tail system. We've called the product line Tablet Tail. And different tails give you different functionality and extend the what the device can do. So depending on the situation that you're using it in. The first tail that we're launching with is the Whale Tail. And it comes in a combo pack that we're selling on Okta.com. Right now we're doing pre-orders. And I recommend, if you're interested, getting a pre-order because they are going quickly. And we're waiting for the next shipment to come in. So check it out at Okta.com, and you can see all the images and get a better sense of what it is.
Yeah, well, I'll describe it a little bit because people are going to want to know before they head there. But as you were mentioning, you got this really cool suction cup that you pump a few times and you mount it on. It's about the size of the palm of your hand, maybe a half a baseball, a little bit larger. Gives you a nice firm grip, and it's great because you have it here on not just iPads, but also Kindles and other tablet devices as well. We like iPads, but you know, if you have another device, you can move it from one to the other, and you could just hold it like that. You were showing me, you know, it's a good grip for that way, but then you combine it with this tail, and that was kind of what drew me over after I cut past the flashing lights and a really cool booth. It's a whale tail, and I asked you a little bit about how that shape came about. So, could you talk a little bit about that? Because I think it's really unique. I mean, nobody else is doing that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's actually kind of funny. When we started the process, it more looked like a Band-Aid on a stick. And as we started to refine it, the whale shape is what emerged from the process, and it emerged because it fits really well in your knuckles to help you when you're using it as a handle. And then the width of the fins gives you a really great lateral support when you're using it as a stand, so it doesn't rock at all. And that's really where the whale tail came from. So now we're all about the tails. And we have a theory that a lot of the wars and animosity in the world is because humans lost their tails somewhere in evolution. So we're bringing them back.
All right. Well, that's interesting. And you are going to have other tails. You were saying, you know, that the idea is that you'll be able to interchange these things. And there's a cool locking system. I think it's just really unique. And I think you mentioned you had a little bit of background in art. So I always love it when the design and the art. And I mean, it was kind of some of Steve Jobs' vision, right? That art and science and all that stuff would come together.
And that's really what the company is focusing on: art, technology, bringing them together, creating cool things that really have a high aesthetic and make it easier to use technology.
All right, so people should go check it out. I, just in case you didn't mention, when is it going to be available and pricing?
Pre-orders are available right now. The combo kit is available for $59.95 for the vacuum dock and the whale tail. It comes with a drawstring bag that's also a great screen cleaner. And if you sign up now, it's shipping early April. The sooner you sign up, the sooner it'll ship. There are units available now to ship, but we have it on there for April 1st.
All right, excellent. Well, thank you so much. I'm glad I was able to swing by and we were able to chat.
Thank you.
All right, I'm here over at the Dolly Drive kiosk, with Anthony. And I think we talked to you guys last year. You had launched the Dolly Drive product. And I think maybe a good place to start is running everybody down what Dolly Drive was. And it looks like you were running me through the product. You've added a number of new features. It looks like some new software for controlling it and a new iOS app. We'll get to those. But let's start with, you know, what is just Dolly Drive?
Yeah, so Dolly Drive is cloud storage and a way to use that cloud storage on your computer, on your web browser, on your devices. And last year, when we presented Dolly Drive, we concentrated our efforts to be able to use the Time Machine application with our cloud storage. And today, at Macworld, we're expanding the amount of services that we use with Dolly Drive, and we have now the ability not only to continue to improve on our Time Machine integration, so that you can use Time Machine with us both on a local external drive and with the cloud drive, to the extent of also having different profiles. But we've also added new features that help you always see all your digital files. We do that through syncing with Dolly Sync, and we do that through space with Dolly Space. So Dolly Sync is one of the new features, and it has a folder syncing capability so that anything that's in that folder you can actually see through devices. Dolly Space has a virtual external drive capability, and it gives you the capability of merge all those external drives that you have in one single location so that no matter what computer you're on, you're always going to see all of your digital life. Syncing is great, but the issue with syncing is that the scalability of syncing is only as big as the local hard drive you have on your computer. So if you always see that information and then you're limited to physically having to mounting external hard drives, you tend to kind of forget some of the files you have that belong to your digital life. And with Dolly Space, the idea is that we are able to always give you that cloud drive presence so that you always have the synced information on your computer no matter where you go. But no matter where you go and what computer you're on, you always can see the rest of your digital life and always have it there like a tree that you can look at and really interact with and not forget about it. You know, I come from having like four or five different drives as I grow my digital life. And sometimes what happens is I not only have files that I disconnect with because I haven't had an occasion to work with them, but you know, the next thing is that, you know, different drives have the same file, and which one is the right one, and so forth. So that disconnect as you grow your digital life is always more present. So I think we've done a really good job of bringing everything together, and our customers will really appreciate how you can always follow your digital information.
Yeah, so what you have is you have cloud storage, and then you have a host of different services layered on top of that. I want to go through a couple of the features of each one as we were walking through them, starting with the cloud backup, the Time Machine functionality that you introduced last year and you've expanded upon. One of the things you were showing me, and maybe you can talk a little about it a little bit more, is being able to manage... And I should remind people, the original product was I could take my Time Machine and set it up so that it was backing up to the cloud rather than to a local hard drive. So it was going direct to the cloud. You still have all that functionality there, but you've expanded upon that, and you've added in the ability with the local as well. And you mentioned the profiles. Can you explain a little bit about what that means, the profiles, and how all that works?
Yeah, sure. So basically, when we presented Time Machine last year integrated to our product, we presented something called Inclusion Assistant. And the Inclusion Assistant was a very easy way to just include the folders and files that you want to back up with Time Machine. The limitation of Time Machine, other than using it with our product, is that if you decide to use different physical devices for it, Time Machine will not remember different backup steps that you may want to apply. So what we've done is we've taken the ability to have literally not only two different places where you can back up with Time Machine, but for each of those locations, you can set which files you want to back up. So, as we were talking about before, I can use my local Time Machine backup to back up my whole, you know, hard drive or, you know, connected hard drives. But then I can limit my cloud Time Machine backup to the things that really, like, have more of a sentimental value to me, so they're really important, so that I have that information backed up in multi-location. And this is really good because we're still in an age where there's a lot of cloud services, but the connectivity to get to the cloud is still lagging behind you know, to the actually, you know, software that's available. So it's really, you know, hard, and we do our best to get all that stuff to the cloud. So the ability to actually use Time Machine with different profiles, different backup sets in different locations, take care of your immediate needs and your long-term longevity of the information.
Right. And then you layered on now the Dolly Sync, which is that syncable folder you mentioned, which I think a lot of people are familiar with. You know, the ability, anything I put in this folder is going to sync to the cloud storage, and then I have access to it from all my devices that are connected to that. And then we also talked about the Dolly space a little bit. So can you talk a little bit about, I mean, a big part of this is being able to access these files everywhere. So the last piece of this that you added on is an iOS application. So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so the iOS application is basically the extension of the ability to look at your files from different locations. And when you open up iDolly, which is our iOS application, you immediately recognize the icons of Dolly Space and Dolly Sync. And for Dolly Space and Dolly Sync, you'll be able to see that that all your folders and files that belong into those areas, you'll be able to cache them to your device, open them to view them, and also export them to other applications in your iPhone or iPad if you need. We have a printing ability also with the first version, and we're looking forward to do other more integrations as much as iOS allows us to with the platform.
Right, that's always a challenge. And I forgot, I probably should mention, you guys have, you know, when I sign up for an account, there's a web-based interface where I can control a lot of things. You also have a really nice desktop interface for setting up and configuring the different services and stuff like that. So let's talk a little bit about pricing, availability, all that sort of stuff. What's it cost for the service and the storage, and how do I sign up?
Okay, so basically you purchase the amount of initial storage that you want to use. Our prices are very aggressive. For example, 250 gigs on a month-to-month plan will cost $10 for using any of the services. And you can, you know, upgrade or downgrade according to your needs. Of course, we've added now the ability for like 6 months, years, and 2 years plans, which should give you some discount from the initial pricing. And a family pricing feature that allows a really nice interface for you to actually purchase the storage and create the account with the size you want to give to any of your family member. Once you create the account and you give the size, they'll basically get the email link and activate the account and use the service.
And it's all available now. I mean, all the products and services are available, and you're continuing to expand and upgrade them.
Anything we talked about now is available today. We've announced a product that is not available today on our website, and it's called DockStation. And we're going to, with DockStation, we're actually bringing all these cloud services to a hardware near you so that you can still get, you know, the beauty and the usability of Dolly Drive, but to local hard drive and hardware space. And that then can also, you know, offsite backup.
All right. And so if people want to find out more information about all the different plans, I know you have a bunch of different levels I saw there, and just get more information on the products and check out the services, where should they go?
And they should go to www.dollydrive.com.
All right. Great, Anthony. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
So there you go. That's part one of my Macworld coverage. I hope you enjoyed that. I'm going to be coming back at you with some more coverage from Macworld in the next day or so. So be looking for that to hit your feed soon. And if you have any feedback for me, any questions, comments, anything you'd like to talk about on the MacCast, anything you'd like to let me know about, you can send your email to maccast@gmail.com. Or you can call in on the listener hotline. That's at 281-622-4269, 281-MAC-IM-9. And you can leave your voicemail messages there. You can also leave voicemail on Skype. My Skype address is the MacCast. And if you'd like to get the links to any of the products mentioned in this episode or find links for any other episode of the MacCast, you can find those up at maccast.com. You'll find the show notes along with the blog post for each episode. And while you're there, be sure to check out the MacCast forum. That's at forum.maccast.com. If you'd like to follow me on Twitter, I'm at twitter.com/maccast. Or you can check out the MacCast Facebook page over at facebook.com/themaccast. And that'll do it for today. Until next time, I will talk to you all again real soon.